Thank you for listening to Gateway City Church Online today. We hope this message will be a blessing to you and draw you closer to God. Now, let's go into the service for today's message.
Hallelujah. Amen. Well, Father, we just want to thank you for your presence in this place this morning. We want to thank you, Lord, that you choose to come and habitate with your people. You choose to come and dwell among us. You've sought for a people that you might be their God and they might be your people, Lord. That you might be their father and we could be your sons and your daughters. We just want to say thank you for the privilege, Lord, of being those who belong to you. Thank you for the blood that bought us, Lord. For your blood, Lord Jesus, that bought us. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that seals us. Seals us, Lord, your word says. Lord, we just want to thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for all that you do for us and all that you've done for us, Lord. We honor you and we bless you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Lord, bless you. You can be seated. Such an honor to be with you again today and this year here at Gateway Church to see what God's doing, not only here, but in many different locations now, I understand. So it's the kingdom of God is expanding. I mean, you know that Isaiah said that of the end of his kingdom, of the increase of his kingdom, of his government, of his peace, there will be no end. In other words, the very nature of the kingdom of God is an ever-expanding element or an entity. It just continues to take ground. It continues to enlarge. And God says, my church is the vehicle that helps that process or actually accomplishes that process on the earth. And so we get to be a part of that. That's a tremendous honor from the Lord. Amen? So, well, this morning we're going to talk about prayer. We're going to talk about how to move into some, maybe some new dimensions of prayer. But before I go into the message, there's a couple of scriptures that just were coming to mind while we were worshiping. Zechariah chapter 10 and verse 1, God said to them, he said, ask for rain in the time of the latter rain. And so, in other words, he said, let your prayers be in sync with the season you're in. Okay, in other words, sometimes we're asking for things outside of seasons. So he says, sense in the spirit the season you're in, and then come into an agreement with that in prayer. That'll make our praying much more effective. Because so often we're asking for things outside of seasons, and God says, if you'll just ask in season, then I'll begin to move and accomplish those things. And then also in Ezekiel 36 and verse 37, God's making all sorts of promises to Israel about their restoration and all that. And then he says this, he said, that I will allow the house of Israel to inquire of this from me. In other words, he said, there, even though I have purposed to do this, I need their prayers for it to become a reality. You see, in other words, we can't just, again, as we shared yesterday, sit back and say, well, God's just going to do it. No, he says, I'm going to allow you the privilege of praying it into being. See, in other words, I need your prayer. So I know that one of the words here in the house is pursue. Well, guess what? That's what we're here to do. We're here to pursue and grab hold of everything God has promised and bring it into a reality. And that's what we're here to accomplish in the realm of prayer. See, I personally believe that the realm of intercession and the realm of prayer, there's no higher honor that God gives us than to function in those realms. That's just my sense, is that God says, I let you partner with me even in the present day ministry I'm functioning in. See, Jesus, what's Jesus doing? He ever lives to make intercession for us. So he says, I let you partner with me in the intercession. Now, this is what I believe. I believe that whatever Jesus is interceding for in the heavens, the Holy Spirit is taking that and pouring it through his church. So that our intercession is connected to his intercession. That's why the burden and the passion of God will overtake you in prayer sometimes. It's not a natural thing. That's something that the Spirit of God is taking the very essence of what Jesus is doing before the throne of heaven and pouring it through us. Why? Because he's the head and we're the body. And so we're actually a part of his intercessory ministry. See, he is high priest after the order of Melchizedek, but the Bible says we're also priests unto our God. Amen? So we get to be a part of who he is. So whenever he allows us to function in intercession and in prayer, I believe it's one of the greatest honors that we can ever experience before him. So here's what I want to talk to you about. I want to talk to you this morning about approaching God as a friend in prayer. That God wants us to understand he has ordained for us to function as his friend. Now, before I go into that, some of you maybe have heard, maybe you haven't, that I have a teaching that I do where I say out of the book of Luke in particular, Jesus put prayer in three dimensions. The disciples said, teach us to pray in Luke 11. Well, in Luke 11, verse 2, he said, when you pray in answer to that request, he said, say, our Father which art in heaven. So he said the first dimension of prayer is approaching God as a father. Okay, and our prayer will never go any deeper. Our prayer life will never be any deeper than our relationship with God as Father allows it to be. And we have to have God revealed to us by the Spirit of adoption as our Father for that relationship to continually develop. But then he goes on in Luke 11 verses 5 through 8 that I'm going to read in just a moment. And he puts prayer in the realm of approaching God as a friend. First as a father, then as a friend. And then later in Luke 18, he brings the subject back up again. And he says he taught a parable to them that men ought always to pray and not to lose heart. And he said that prayer is approaching God as a judge. Okay? So I'm not going to go into all of that today because there's all sorts of books out there on approaching God in the judicial system of heaven as judge to see verdicts rendered on our behalf so that we can see the breakthroughs that haven't come so that they can come. But see, as important as going into the courts of heaven is, as important as going before him as judge is, we cannot leave out the other two elements of father and friend. And so what I want to talk to you about today is this whole issue of approaching him as friend. And so in Luke 11, verses 5 through 8, this is what Jesus said when he was teaching them on prayer. He said, which of you shall have a friend and shall go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, do not trouble me. The door is now shut. My children are with me in bed. I cannot arise and give to you. I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. And so when Jesus said, in teaching on prayer, he begins to talk about a friend who comes to another friend who can't help him. So this friend gets up and goes to another friend that has provision to get from him so he'll have something to give to this friend that has come to him. Watch this, on a journey. And so Jesus is connecting this to prayer. But he's talking about the whole issue of friendship. And so hid within this passage is the idea that when we come to God, we should approach him as our friend. Now, in John chapter 15 and verse 15, Jesus basically said, I no longer call you servants, but I call you friends. And then he said this, because everything the Father's told me, I'm telling you. Okay, so, and we'll get to this in just a moment, but you need to understand that Jesus wants to be our friend. He wants us to be his friend, and we all know the song, I'm the friend of God, and all that kind of thing, and it's a wonderful song, but I tell you what, God wants us to experience it functionally, where that we become the friend of God, and out of us becoming the friend of God, we obtain a position in prayer that we do not have otherwise. Because God wants to trust us as his friends with certain elements that will allow us to pray on a deeper level. So God is looking for those who can function as his friend. He needs friends. Watch this. He needs friends to accomplish his purposes in the earth. See, as I said earlier, I believe there are things that cannot be done in the earth except God has friends to pray them into reality. To actually reach into the heavenly realm and see those things become reality. Now, in the scripture, we have some examples of men that became the friend of God. Moses and Abraham are two primary examples of being the friend of God. Moses and Abraham. In Exodus 33, verse 11, it says that God spoke to Moses face to face. And then it says this, as a man would speak to his friend. So it's really interesting. So one of the things that it means to be the friend of God is having a face-to-face encounter with God. See, in other words, and when I read it, I think, okay, no veil over our face, hiding nothing, but coming in full transparency before God, knowing that he forgives and cleanses me and that there is no shame that can keep me away from him. See, in other words, having a face-to-face encounter. And every time I read that, I always think about God whenever when he comes to Adam after he forms him out of the dust of the earth. And the Bible says he breathed into Adam the breath of life. Now, when God did that, I don't think that God was from in heaven doing this to Adam. I believe that God came into the earth he had created and put his mouth on Adam's mouth, his nostrils on Adam's nostrils, and he breathed into Adam the breath of life. In other words, there was a face-to-face encounter that, watch this, kissed Adam into life. It kissed Adam into life. And I believe with all my heart that God wants to kiss us into life. And out of that face-to-face encounter, we become his friends. Because we begin to experience his heart, experience intimacy with him, and know him on levels that maybe we've not known him on before. God's wanting to unveil secrets to us as his friends. The other example is Abraham. And there's three places in scripture where God says about Abraham that he was a friend of God. One of them is Isaiah 41:8. It says, "But you, Israel, are my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the descendant of Abraham, my friend." See, in other words, God calls Abraham his friend. But here's what it says. It says, because Abraham was the friend of God, Abraham's descendants were promised blessings. See, if we become the friend of God, we don't only experience deep intimacy and the secrets that God wants to reveal, but literally our heritage after us, our families after us get blessed because we were the friend of God. And this is reiterated over and over, that Abraham's descendant, Isaac, and then all the people that came from through him, and then through Jacob, and through all the people that were born, all of those people were blessed, watch this, and are still being blessed today because Abraham was the friend of God. I believe it's worth paying the price, whatever that might be, to become the friend of God. For the sake of our inheritance, for the sake of our heritage, that God says, because you're my friend, I'll treat your descendants differently than others might get treated. I'll actually fulfill promises with them that others won't get because you were my friend. See, God's looking for some people to be his friend. That's why Jesus put prayer into this particular realm. He's yearning for people to take those places. So here's what I want to talk about at the core of what I want to say this morning. Let me give you three keys to functioning as the friend of God in prayer. Out of the verses that we read in Luke 11, verses 5 through 8, three keys to functioning as the friend of God in prayer. First of all, friends stand in the middle place of intercession. Notice what Jesus pictured when he told this story. He said, there's a friend that comes to one that is his friend on a journey, and he can't help him. So this friend gets up and goes to another friend and says to this friend, please give me something to help the one who's come on his journey. So the one who is in the middle between the two friends is the one that is interceding. So in the middle, or the middle position, always is speaking of a place of intercession. So this is what you need to understand. When we approach God as friend, we are almost always interceding for someone else. See, being the friend of God is not just telling him what I want about me and about my stuff. It is taking a position in behalf of someone else and saying to the one that is my friend, that is God, would you please, Lord, remember this one? Remember this one, because being the friend of God is a position of intercession. See, that's what Abraham did. Abraham interceded as the friend of God in behalf of Sodom and Gomorrah. And because of his intercession, God agreed that he would spare Sodom and Gomorrah if certain criteria was met. Now, it wasn't met, but Abraham was able to broker the deal, if you will, because he was the friend of God. In fact, when you read that story, Genesis 18, it's like Abraham is saying to God as his friend, Lord, if there's 10 righteous, will you spare it? And it's, when you read it, it's as if God is saying, Abraham, because you asked me, because you as my friend asked me, for you, I'll do it for 10. Others could have asked that weren't his friend, but because Abraham was the friend of God, for Abraham, God said, I'll do it. You need to understand, when you're the friend of God, God will do things for you in behalf of others that he might not do for someone else that's asking. So God wants to invite us in to be his friend, because he's looking for some people that can pray into reality the things that God wants into the earth. So intercession is a position, or being the friend of God is a position of intercession in behalf of others. Number two, the friends of God pray people into their destiny. See, notice the one who came to Jesus, the parable Jesus told, in the story, he was on a journey. That's always stood out to me. A friend has come to me on his journey. In other words, it's someone going somewhere. It's someone trying to get somewhere. For instance, in the parable of the Good Samaritan, it says, perchance someone came down this way. They weren't on a journey. They weren't going anywhere in particular. They just happened to be on that roadway. But here it says this friend that's come, he's on a journey. He has a destination. He's trying to get somewhere. You see, when you're the friend of God, God will give us assignments to pray others into their destiny. That maybe it's a child, maybe it's a relation, maybe it's a literal friend, maybe it's a someone you know at your job. But God will give you an assignment, will put a burden on you to pray somebody into the destiny that God has ordained for them. And he'll trust you with that, because you're his friend. Now, let me just tell you a little story. Whenever I was born again and came into the things of the Spirit, my family was in a very denominational church and no move of the Spirit whatsoever. In the early 70s, my dad got very hungry for the things of the Spirit. We came into the things of the Spirit when I was 12 years old. And so I experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit immediately. Even before that, I knew there was a call of God on my life. I've always had an awareness of God. Not because my family knew God per se, even though we were religious, but there was just, it's like Paul said, I was separated from my mother's womb. That's the only thing I can say. I've always had this awareness of God. I remember walking to the mailbox with my mother when I'm 3 or 4 years old. And her saying to me, one day Jesus is coming back from there, pointing to the east. And it scared me to death. I'm 3, 4 years old. And it scared me because I had this awareness of God. And I didn't, even at that age, I didn't want Jesus coming back. Now, the church we were in would not let us make a profession of faith until I was 12 years old. So by the time that came around, we had come out of that denomination and came into the things of the Spirit. And so immediately into that, I mean, the call of God on my life just began to be very real to me. Very real to me. I would literally, as a 12-year-old boy, prophesy the pastor's sermon before he would preach it. And I didn't even know the Bible. And yet I would be in worship, and this overwhelming sense of God's presence would come on me, and the pastor we had would encourage it, and I would prophesy the message that he would later preach, and I would like, wow, that's got to be God. So I had this tremendous call, and it was a call of God on my life. See, that call maintained, or the sense of that call and the desire for that call maintained until I was 16 years old. And then at 16 years old, I met this very lovely young girl in our high school that's now my wife and has been for 40 years, well, 39 now. But here's the deal. I got really, really in love, and I didn't want to do ministry anymore. So we got married right out of high school at 18 years old, cut through some of the story, got out of high school, got married. And I still had no desire for ministry, because this is what I tell people. I thought if I went into ministry, it would cramp my style. Now, the problem was I didn't have any style. I just didn't know it. So I'm going along, and all of a sudden, I'm in a car going to get some bread and milk. Now I'm about 20 years old. And God, without invitation, comes into my car. Without invitation. So everybody says he's a gentleman. No, he is not. I did not invite him. He just showed up in my car. His presence showed up in my car. And I heard him say to me as I'm driving down the road, these were the words he spoke verbatim. The time is drawing nigh for you to do my work. And I said, I knew it was God. I said, why now, Lord? Because I got a wife. I got a child. I've got a house to pay for. I've got, you know, all the stuff that goes with starting a family. Why now, Lord? And instantly he said to me, because now you have to trust me. And I won't go into all the story, but in a very short time, I surrendered to it, and we began to move in preparation for ministry. But for years, I wondered, why did God show up in my car? I wasn't interested in talking to him at all at that time. I didn't want to be in ministry. Here's what I found out later. There was a ladies' group that would meet every Tuesday night, a women's group that would meet, that was a part of the church that I grew up in. And they would meet every Tuesday night, have their Bible study, and then they would go into a time of prayer. And they told me, they said, Robert, every time we would go into prayer, this burden of God would come into the room, and we would begin to travail and intercede over you. And we would say, Lord, get him. Grab hold of him. Execute your call over him. And they said that happened for months and for months and for months and for months until one day God showed up in my car. See, I may not have given him permission, but their prayers did. And I stand here today because of that woman's prayer group that knew how to pray. They knew how to intercede. What did they do? They prayed me into my destiny. See, somehow or another, they were the friends of God. And God says, I have an assignment for you. There's one I need for my purposes. I need for you to pray him into his destiny. He needs to fulfill the journey and get into his destiny. See, God wants to use us as his friends. I say, Lord, please, here am I. There's no higher honor. There's no greater place. Let me give you the third one. Friends pray from secrets. See, remember John 15 and verse 15, Jesus said, I no longer call you servants, I call you friends. And then he said, and what this means is that everything the Father tells me, I'm going to tell you. You're going to know secrets everybody else doesn't know. And I love it because this is what I see about Abraham. Abraham was the friend of God. He told him a secret. He said, I'm going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Abraham, as the friend of God, knew what to do with that information. See, Abraham knew God didn't tell me that so that I could prophesy it in public and become famous when it happens. Abraham knew that wasn't why God told him. God didn't tell him so he could prophesy it in public. He told him so he could pray in secret and potentially change the outcome of what was otherwise going to happen. You see, sometimes we wonder, why does God give us and show us secrets when we have, it seems like, nothing, nowhere to take it, nothing to do with it? In other words, I don't have a platform to speak it from. God says, I didn't tell you it so you could speak it. I told you it so you could pray. So you could pray so that you could shift some things, so that some things that might happen would not happen otherwise, or some things that need to happen could actually occur. I love what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 24. He says this. He says, pray, when he's talking about the end times, what we normally call the end times. He said, pray that your flight not be in the winter. Now you think, well, that's just Jesus being real poetic. No, I believe that when Jesus said pray, he meant pray. He meant this is coming. He was saying to him, this is going to happen. But prayer can alter its effect on you. That you don't understand that there may be some things you can't stop or you can't alter, but you can change their effect on you. So you should pray that your flight not be in the winter. See, we don't understand the power of it. As the friends of God, we can step into his very presence and from secrets he reveals, begin to change the outcome of things that would otherwise happen. Or cause some things to happen that might not otherwise occur. This is the function of friends. I say, God, I want to be your friend. Would you let me be your friend? Would you trust me with a place in you that can shift things in individuals' lives, but maybe even shift things in cultures? Amen? So would you stand with me this morning? How many of you in this room would say, I would like to be God's friend. I would like for him to trust me. Then I want to pray for us. Because when I'm praying for you, I'm praying for me. And I'm saying, Lord, right now in your precious name, would you just grant us the place of being your friends? We don't want to just sing about it. We don't want to just talk about it. We actually want to be your friend. So maybe you put your hand over your heart and just whisper to him, Lord, let me be your friend. As Abraham was your friend, as Moses was your friend, make me your friend. Please, Lord, would you remember us? Would you trust us, Lord, with that place and that position in you? Would you just allow us to step into that glorious place in the Spirit as Abraham and Moses functioned there so we could function there? Father, that we could come as an intercessor standing between you and others and even pray into reality everything that is necessary for them to reach their destiny, for them to come to the place that you have ordained on their journey. Lord, we thank you, Lord. I say that 2017 is a year of breakthrough. I'm not just saying that in some religious rhetoric. I prophetically declare 2017 is a year of breakthrough. And you are allowing us as your people, you are allowing us the privilege, the honor of inquiring of you for this, Lord. That in the season of rain, we cry for rain, Lord. And that there is a breakthrough that is now coming, Father, even into families, Lord, into situations. Lord, I'm saying that things that have not moved, it seems like for a long time, are now moving, Lord. Everything begins to move. Everything begins to move. There's a shift. There's a shift that is occurring, Lord. There's a shift that is occurring, Lord Jesus. And great breakthrough is coming, Lord. Lord, that there's going to be great joy and exhilaration because of what you're doing. Lord, I say that this is the season and this is the time of breakthrough, Lord Jesus, that we as your people come into. We thank you for it. And you use us, Lord, as your friends to see that become a reality. Father, that this year we would set time apart with you like never before. We would set time away with you. And maybe there's times when we come apart with you when there's not an agenda and all you want us to do is just be there. We would just be those that would come and just be there, Lord. Lord, thank you for just speaking to us. Thank you for whispering out of your friendship to us your secrets that we can pray from. Thank you for that, Lord. We just receive that now in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Just tell him, yes, Lord. Yes. Hallelujah. Amen.
What a tremendous word. Thank you, Robert. I want to encourage you guys, just take a seat. Talk to you out of my heart for a few minutes. Just to mention, too, that Robert's tremendous ministry that's taken him really around the country and in many nations of the world, in his teaching on prayer, is written down in books and recorded in CDs there in the lobby. I encourage you to invest in your prayer life by getting some of this material and learn what you need to learn about being a friend of God, also about coming before the Lord as a judge and as a father. There's so much here. What a wonderful teaching. Can we tell Robert one more time how much we appreciate him? Yeah. We're investing time, as we do every January, in sharpening the prayer sword of our lives, you know. This month of January is very special. We always have prayer and fasting and just really stretch it out over the whole month. Bring in good prayer teachers and have strong prayer meetings. And then even next Sunday, we'll start a week of prayer and fasting. So this is the time to be seeking the Lord. And let me just tell you, as Robert was preaching, I was aware of a couple of things, just a little Holy Spirit time here. We're going to receive the offering in just a minute, but I got to share some things that I sensed. One thing is that not only is God calling people to prayer, but he's calling people to leadership. I felt as Robert was sharing that story that some of you are in a wrestling moment with the Lord. You're just kind of right where Robert was, just about, God, are you calling me? Are you using my life? I just hear the Lord really calling you to a place where he wants to use you, that you should say yes to the Lord. Not just, Lord, I want to be your friend, but also, Lord, I want to be your servant. I'll serve you in ministry. I'll do it. And ministry, you know, that sounds like a kind of a high level thing about being ordained or having a title or what. Ministry is just living your life for God and then taking a place of responsibility in the world. Just come to a place of commitment and responsibility for the lives of other people and for the work of God and for the kingdom of God. I want to throw that challenge out to you that I felt like the Holy Spirit was really speaking that to. And then also, I saw in vision form just during the message and even before this morning, before the service, it was coming to me in my prayer time just about how people in this service today would be asking questions about the circumstances that are taking place in their life. Closed doors, open doors, things that are coming to an end, and things that are beginning. And the Lord wanted me to say to you that he's in perfect control of all those things. That God has a plan for your life, my friend. He has a plan. And if something has changed suddenly that wasn't really on your plan, but it was in God's plan. And to really rest and really trust that he's got you during this time. How many of you will receive that? I don't know if that's a job change. I don't know if that's a family circumstance or maybe some health crisis has come into your life and it's changed things. But God is totally, completely sovereignly in control of your life. And even if you didn't see it, God sees it. Will you receive that? Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to receive our tithe and offering. In just a few minutes, our prayer teams are going to come. If you need prayer connection this morning, they're going to be available for you to minister to you. If you're working on your relationship with Christ, maybe you say, look, I really do want to be God's friend, but I've never met God. We want to give you a chance at the end of the service to come and pray, connect with somebody, and really meet God and meet Christ. If you need to rededicate your heart to the Lord, I tell you, this is the day to do it. It's early in January. It's the time. Let's get right with God in 2017. Let's come back into a place of close friendship and fellowship with God. Enoch walked with God in close fellowship. And the Holy Spirit is calling us to be close. So we'll pray with you at the end of the service. But I want to thank everybody that's been giving and serving and really praying over the church, because what's happening in the church right now is wonderful. Robert mentioned we are expanding. We're on 3 campuses now. We're in relationship with a church in Modesto that I don't know where that relationship is going to go, but that might end up being a 4th campus for us. We're praying. We're seeking the Lord. And your giving and your intercession and your participation in what's happening is just absolutely vital. Our partners, our missionary partners, and the ministries that we support here in Silicon Valley, and our own ministries, everything from children all the way up to everything we're doing for God, depends on your solid, steady involvement. So thank you for your giving, and we want to bless Robert Henderson as well. So I mentioned earlier in the service, we have a few different ways to give. You can give by a check, put it in an envelope or cash. You can do that right here when we receive the offering. You can also take out that Push Pay app. That's a pretty cool little deal right there on your smartphone. You just sign up for it by texting Gateway, or excuse me, GCCSJ. Send that to 779. It's coming up. All right. Text GCCSJ. Thank you, technical people. I appreciate that. They know when I'm bombing and they help me here. All right. GCCSJ 77977. You get that and you do it one time. Takes you 30 seconds and then you can give to Gateway just as easy as a few taps on your smartphone. So I'm going to pray over your giving and then we're going to worship the Lord. And as we worship, they'll serve you and then the prayer team will come and we'll connect. Amen. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for speaking to us so clearly. What a word, Lord, that we can be your friends, that we can not just know you, but be intercessors and servants of God. Lord, let that seed go deep into our heart. Bless Robert. Thank you for this man and his ministry and how you've used him, Lord. We want to bless him and honor him. And Lord, we pray that the offering today would be a source of enrichment and blessing to his life, Lord, as well. Father, bless your people as they give their tithes and offerings. And Lord, as we cover Modesto and we're involved in that project, Lord, let all the needs of your people and all the needs of your house be met through this generosity time, Lord. We bless you, Father. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Let's worship the Lord with our giving.
God, you're so good. Sing with me. You're matchless. You are matchless in grace and mercy. There's nowhere. There is nowhere we can hide from your love. You are steadfast, never failing. You are faithful, yes you are. And all creation is in awe of who you are. You're the healer. You're the healer of the sick and the broken. Yes you are. You are comfort for every heart that mourns. Our King and our Savior forever. Sing it out. For eternity, we'll sing of all you've done. Oh, for eternity, we'll sing of all you've done. Here we go. And we sing. God with us. God with us. Against no one can stand between. and God for us. Nothing can come against. No one can stand between us. In your heart, your heart, it moves with compassion, and there is life, there is healing in your love. You're the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and for eternity we will sing of all. Let's stand, church, let's stand and sing this. We sing God with us. God with us. Come on, reach out. God for us. Nothing can come against. No one can stand between us. And God with us. Oh, God for us. Nothing can come against. No one can stand between us. There was death, you brought life, Lord. Where there was fear, where there was fear, you brought courage. When I was afraid, you were with me. We remember, and you lifted me up. Oh yes, you lifted me. Let's declare, where there is death, where there is death, there is fear, you bring courage. Right now, when I'm afraid, I am afraid, you are with me. You're lifting us, you're lifting me up. Yes, you're lifting me. He's doing it, he's doing it. Lifting me up, you're lifting me up. Sing it again, you're lifting me up.
Give the Lord a shout this morning. Thank you, God. Thank you for your power, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, Pastor Carol. Well, guys, I want to call our altar team forward, our prayer team for today, a few of our elders and some of our intercessors. We want to be able to connect with anybody who needs prayer. If you need healing prayer, if you're going through something, if you just need to check in with someone and have some prayer, then our leadership team, our prayer team is going to be here in this service. And I want to encourage you during this month of January, prayer, fasting. We have this thing called All Church Prayer on Saturday, and it is a powerful, transforming experience. I challenge you, come and join us. The doors open at 6 a.m. this Saturday, and we pray together, and it's just a beautiful time in the Holy Spirit's presence. What more perfect time for us to be in God's house and praying
during this time of prayer and instruction. So Saturday mornings, the doors are open at 6. And I'm going to ask Pastor Carol Cohen. She's our women's pastor. She's going to speak the blessing over all of us here in our dismissal. And then when she's done with the prayer, if you need prayer, that'll be the time you'll come up. Pastor Carol, we love you. What's going on with women's ministry anyway? Anything?
Yeah, the women are ready to go, Pastor David. For 2017, we are on fire. And Saturday, January 28th, the women are going to have an all women's gathering at 9 o'clock. And we're going to be talking about slaying the January giants. So those giants that come to mock your faith in God, that what we're believing God for in 2017, we're going to come up with strategies to slay them. So we're ready. And any of you women who want to participate in that and help do with the planning and the implementation of that, please see me afterwards, okay? All right. Father, we just thank you, God, for all that you are doing in Gateway and through the leadership and the members of this church, God, and for the blessing and for the honor and for the privilege of being your friend, God, and inviting us into your courtroom, God. We implore you, God, to bring us into that realm, Lord, so we can be more effective in our prayer, God. As these people go, your blessing upon him in Jesus' name.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I love each and every one of you. God bless. Turn around and greet one another in love. And if you need prayer, come join us here at the front. We'll take good care of you. Robert's materials are in the lobby. God bless.
We pray today's message ministered to you. If you want to accept Jesus into your life, we'd like to help you get started on your walk with him. You may reach Gateway City Church at 408-281-7900. If we can help you in any way, please call today. One of our